club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, welcome back to another episode of the FTLOL podcast and welcome back to another feature session. Today we've got a big one. We've got a man with over 200 Premier League appearances and over 600 appearances in the top two tiers of English football. Is Mr. Paul Robinson. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all good, thank you.
Good stuff. Of course, you're at Millwall now, though, and they had another Paul Robinson, didn't they?
Robinson. So the Paul Robinson does have the 23, so it gets quite confusing for us down there.
Is it 23?
Okay. Yeah, he does the assistant manager to the 23s.
Okay, so who's got the main email address there? Because when we've got two people with the same name, they put a little 2 by one of them. Does that happen there?
No, I keep my own one, my own private one, so it's all right. There's no confusion. So we cleared that up straight away.
Nice, very professional. Okay, all right. So let's take it right back then. When did you first sort of get into football? Was it quite early on?
Yeah, it was really. I think it's like you say, when you're a young age and you start watching it on the telly around 4 and 5, yeah, you sort of then just want to go out, you want to try things in the garden of what the players were like you were watching, and just go from there really. And it did for me. I played on the streets a lot with my mates. So I like that rough and tumble. I like the physicality of like the people I grew up with were older than me. So it was a great learning for me and put me in a good stead really for my sort of my mentality and the way that I was as a player. So yeah, I would say from about 4 or 5 when I started watching it to then sort of getting more and more into it when I was about 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, watching you play, like some of the things I remember is you was very, very solid. Like you could definitely take a tackle, and yeah, it makes sense that you grew up playing with all the guys for sure. And you was around Watford, weren't you, that you sort of grew up?
Yeah, so Watford was where I was born and bred, and then I came through the academy there. I started at the age of 9 and then just worked my way through the age groups, really, yeah, and then made my debut when I was 17. Grant Taylor, Kenny Jackett were the coaches at the time and the manager, and they gave me the opportunity to sort of prove myself in first-team football.
Blimey, that's a good start, Grant Taylor and Kenny Jackett. Were you a Watford fan as well growing up?
I was a Watford fan, yeah, and your rivals as well, I was a fan of.
Yeah, because that whole area, I guess, it's mainly, I guess, if it's not Watford, it's Arsenal and Tottenham, isn't it? Everyone's got their training ground in Hertfordshire these days, so.
Exactly, yeah, London and Coney. The next door Arsenal and Watford, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, and were you always a full-back, or did you sort of start a bit further up the pitch?
Oh, I think when we was all kids, we were the striker, weren't we? Everyone wanted to be a striker. So, I started off there scoring loads of goals, and I think they felt sorry for the defenders, so they started moving me back. So I ended up left midfield, left wing, and then Kenny Jackett saw me as a left back just because I was quite marauding going down that left hand side. So yeah, I started off as a striker and then ended up as a fullback.
Yeah, I would like to say that I started off as striker and got put to fullback because I was scoring too many goals, but I don't know if that was the reason I got put to fullback in the end. But yeah, that same thing happened to me. Watford. So you sort of grew up playing for your hometown club. I mean, that's got to be pretty special as well. Like, and your parents and all that, are they sort of Watford fans as well?
No, my dad's a Man United fan, unfortunately. My mum is a Tottenham fan. So yeah, we got a mixture of supporters in the family. But yeah, they always followed me, my journey. So yeah, they were Watford fans when I was playing for them. And then obviously when you go on to different clubs, they just follow you. They follow where you're playing and what you do. So So yeah, we always used to go growing up as the kids and as a family. We used to go to the Watford games because, like you say, it was local for us, so it was just easy.
Yeah,
but they had a good when it was growing up. The likes of John Barnes and Luther Blissett. It was an entertaining team to go and watch. So yeah, we really enjoyed watching them type of players.
Yeah, cup final was it 83-84?
Yeah, lost to an unfortunately 84-1-0, so disappointing. But fantastic for the town itself, a small town getting the recognition of getting to the FA Cup final was a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Watford anyway is quite famous because a lot of people draw the line at that in terms of that's the South.
And yeah.
It moves on to the Midlands, and quite a lot of people do seem to have played for Watford and then gone up to either, you know, Birmingham, Villa. You know, you've done a couple of Midlands clubs yourself, yes. And then I suppose you had Troy Deeney going the other way. But yeah, that does seem to be quite a popular move because I guess it's not too far up the road, is it?
No, exactly. It's got great links to everywhere, really. The Midlands, there's so many locations and so many places you can go. So, yeah, it's easy. It's easy for footballers to live if they are playing in the South and if they are playing in, like, the Manchester area. Yeah, Birmingham's is a good location to live.
Yeah, OK. Before we get into your team, I just did have one question about sort of the clubs that you did play for.
Yes.
What's the fiercest derby that you've played for? Because I've heard a bit about West Brom Wolves being pretty tasty, which...
Yeah, tasty.
Yeah, I've not really heard of that until fairly recently, but yeah, apparently that's one of the...
Yeah, it's a tasty one. Well, I've played in a few, to be fair, like the Watford-Luton one's very tasty as well.
Yeah.
So Watford-Luton, West Brom, Wolves, yeah, that was always the local rivalry between the teams. Obviously, Birmingham Villa as well.
Yeah.
So I'd have played in them. So yeah, played in some good local derbies, and you see a few sights.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the Midlands as well. Like, there's so many sort of local rivalries. There's almost got as many teams in there as there is in London anyway. So yeah, there's some fierce competition to be the sort of best Midlands clubs. But yeah, if we crack onto your team then, what formation have you gone with?
I've gone for a 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you want me to just reel them off to you?
We'll go one by one. So, who have you got in goal?
So, in goal, I've got Dean Kiely. Okay. Dean Kiely was the goalkeeper who I played with at West Brom. Fantastic goalkeeper. A real good guy. And a great character to be around. So, I would say that he was... It was close because obviously I played with UC Escalon as well, but I played with Dino a little bit more and I really enjoyed playing just in front of him as a defender. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he the keeper of your sort of great escape in 2005 as well? Was he there at that point?
No, that was great escape. He was in goal then. That was...
Might be Russell Holt. I think he was a bad one.
Yeah, Russell Holt. Russell Holt and Thomas Cusack, because Thomas Cusack come in as Holt, he got injured. So yeah, they were the two that were fighting out. I was trying to think who the other one was. Yeah, it was Thomas Cusack.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, Dean Kiely came in under Tony Mowbray. So that was the time when Dino come in, which was probably one of my best footballing experiences playing for that team then under West Brom.
Yeah, I think you've got a few caps for Ireland as well.
Dino did represent his country. Yeah, so, real good goalkeeper.
Yeah, solid choice.
All right, yeah, very solid.
Full back.
So, Nigel Gibbs. Nigel Gibbs was a right back. Nigel, who I grew up with at Watford, he was... one of the senior pros as I was coming through, and his dad actually coached me in the academy when I first grew up. So that was a great learning curve for me. And then obviously then to play with Nigel and watch him and learn off him and get the advice was fantastic for me at such a young age. So yeah, Gibbo was a great example for me growing up as a fullback.
Yeah, it's not a name I've heard of, to be fair. What sort of player was he, I suppose, if you can sort of compare him to someone now? Like, what was he?
He was just a solid right back. Yeah, very, very, like, very, I would say, 1v1, excellent, hardly got beat, positionally very good, obviously got forward well, and delivery in the final third was excellent. So yeah, he was your old school type of defender, but also he knew how to get forward and do the right things as well. So yeah, for me, it was at that time growing up as a kid, he was my example for one of them fullbacks to learn off at such a young age. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
So then right-sided centre-half, I've got Gary Cahill in at right-sided centre-half, who I played with at Bolton. Mm-hmm. Gary, again, was only young when I was at Bolton, but you could tell he was going to be an outstanding centre-half with the way that he played. He was a captain, he was a leader, but also a very good technical football player. So, you could see that he was going to go on and play for Chelsea and the top teams, and also then Captain England was fantastic for him. But yeah, for me as well, to play and work with him was, it was a great honour. What a player, what a guy as well, great guy off the field.
I'm absolutely gutted we didn't get him, because we were linked with him around the time that he went to Chelsea, and I think Cahill would have made such a difference to that Arsenal defence. Like the leadership, as you've said, that he had, he would have only been fairly young, would he, when he was at Bolton, maybe like early 20s, but...
Yeah, when he was 21, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was young.
At that age then?
He didn't captain Bolton because obviously we had Kevin Davis. So Kevin Davis was the captain at the time. But yeah, obviously when he went to Chelsea, he was the understudy to John Terry, wasn't he? So he learnt off him, and then he took over the captaincy once John moved on. So yeah, but you can see that he's just got so much qualities in the leader that he is. So it was great to play with him.
Yeah, very underrated as well. I think he barely comes up in conversations when people are talking about either like English centre backs or Premier League ones, but he's won the lot twice over.
Definitely.
Really solid player.
Yeah. Exactly. So then, yeah, next to him, I've got Jonas Olsson, the Swedish nutcase, as I called him. He was a rocker, but an unbelievable player. Great left foot, very comfortable with playing out from the back, and also moving his feet into getting to good positions. Yeah, I really enjoyed my time working with Jonas. A leader as well in the dressing room. Good quality. Good guy. Real good guy.
What was he like in the training ground? Was he a bit of a joker or...?
Oh, he was nuts. He was like a rocker. So he had the lifestyle of... Like, he loved his rock music. He'd play it out loud in the dressing room when it was his turn to play the music. He was just one of those guys. He was like a free spirit. He just loved being in control of stuff. So he was great to play alongside him. When I played left back, he was the left sided centre half. So it made my job easier knowing that he was always going to be in the right positions if I was a little bit further forward. And then Neil Clement. So Neil Clement now at left back. Again, an unbelievable left foot. Chelsea, come through the Chelsea Academy. I got the opportunity to play. He was my competition when I went to West Brom when I first signed from Watford. So I knew it was going to be hard work for me. I knew I had to work extremely hard to get into the team. But what a guy. And we had a great relationship off the pitch. We knew each other's games. And then we actually ended up playing in the same team, because he ended up playing left-sided centre-half of a three while I played left wing-back. Mm. It worked really well. He was he's such a great guy. But what a player. I mean... Scored so many goals, free kicks, penalties. Just had that fantastic quality with a left foot.
Yeah, that is definitely a name where I remember seeing Clement and then the little P, the penalty, come through on the teletext.
Yeah.
A few times. But yeah, I'm surprised you didn't put yourself in there.
Nah, you don't.
Not anyone yet put themselves in the team, though, but yeah, I mean,
don't argue with people who take penalties. You leave them to it. If they're on that list for a reason, you don't argue with them. You let them carry on. So he was, he just smashed it as hard as he could, and the keepers were never saving it.
Did you ever play like left centre back in a three as well? I seem to recall you might have done a little bit. Yeah,
Yeah, I did. Yeah, when I went to Birmingham, so we ended up changing the formation and I played left of the three in the back three there.
Yeah. Do you reckon these days you'd still be a left back in a four, or might you see yourself playing a little bit more in that sort of role, the way that the game is these days?
No, because you don't really know, because obviously when you get older and you're asked to play different formations, you sort of get on with it, really. I mean, yeah, I was mainly a left back when I was going through my career and played a majority of my time at left back. But towards the end of my career, I sort of played left sided centre half of a three, but I played centre half in a two, left of the centre half. City midfield, I would drop into as well in some games, just because of my experience and my know-how to try and like slow the game down or use my head more than other players that were sort of a little bit more erratic in them situations. So yeah, I could play numerous positions, but I think now if I was going to play anywhere, I would probably, I really like the left wing back role just because I was quite a runner. I enjoyed running. Yeah. But I did also enjoy the left sided centre half of the three. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's what coaches are after, a lot of them these days anyway, a little bit of versatility, and
exactly.
Coaches are looking for players to play and
change
their position to come. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good trait that you've got there. And the fact you're left-footed as well, always a bonus too.
Not many around now, left-footers.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so my midfield two, this is interesting, midfield two. So I've got Jonathan Green in there with Jack Wiltshire.
Bolton online, weren't he? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll start with Jono. So Jono obviously he's one of my closest mates in football. He was he was an unbelievable player. Very underrated, Jono. I still believe that if he wasn't in the same area as people like Steven Gerrard and Nicky Butt and all those who got all the England caps, then Jono would definitely get more. He was a talented footballer, right-footed, left-footed, could play anywhere in midfield as well as on the wing. He played in front of me a few times, left wing. We had a great relationship on that side where we always understood each other's games. And, I mean, he was the captain of when we survived in the Great Escape. Yeah, just an unbelievable character. Got so much time for Jono. I still speak to him quite a lot. He's a very underrated football player who should have earned more England caps in my eyes if it wasn't for the likes of Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Paul Scholes, Nicky Butt, the ones who he was competing with at Man United, really. That's why he had to move on, just because he wasn't going to get that game time.
Yeah, was he in the class in 92? Or was he a little bit...
No, he was... Yeah, younger. Yeah, he was younger. He came into the team when they won the treble. So that's when Jono started to then come onto that scene. So he was like the Wes Brown era when he was with Wes Brown, John O'Shea. Yeah, so that was Jonathan's age group, really.
Yeah.
And then Jack Wiltshire, obviously you're a big fan of Jack, are you?
He's one of my favourite players. I watched him the first time I watched him, he was 16, playing against Wigan, but their full team, and we had played the kids, and he just absolutely destroyed him. Best player on the park at 16 years old. I thought he was going to win the Ballon d'Or. He was that good.
Yeah, I've never seen nothing like it. We come to Bolton when he was 19 on loan for the season, and I mean, he was just like a breath of fresh air. It's like, wow, who's this kid? You'd never really heard of him, obviously, because still young, he was still developing. But we all heard of him after that season, and we all knew that he'd be a world-class player, which he was for so many years. He's just been so unlucky with injuries, and they've obviously taken their effect on the way that he plays now as a player. But he's a great lad. I've got a lot of time for Jack. Speak to him every now and then now just to check in to see how he's doing. But yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. He was a top player, but he's an outstanding lad as well.
Yeah, and that spell at Bolton, I think that just shows like the value of loans as well.
Yes,
he comes straight back after that, and he ended up getting our Player of the Year, Team of the Season in the Prem, and I just think he needed that. I think it was like half a season. He needed that half season of Premier League football to sort of toughen him up a little bit and get used to playing with men, really. So So you've got a part to play in what happens next year.
No, I wouldn't say that. Like you said, I think you as a player have to show what you're capable of. I think when you see the young lads who go out on loan, some of them turn their nose up a bit. Some of them get their head down and work hard. And Jack was a prime example of he wanted to show what he was all about. He wanted to prove to Arsenal that when he came back, he was ready to go into the team. And he took that with both hands. But that's down to Jack. That was down to the way that he worked as a player and his attitude of where he wanted to be and how he wanted to play. So, yeah, we can only play with these players and enjoy as much as we can on the football pitch. But I'd love to have had his talent on the ball.
Yeah, he was ridiculously talented. And, yeah, as you say, the injuries just... It would have been... He's definitely one of those that you want to see what his career would have been if he didn't have the injuries, for sure. Would you say... I know he weren't there that long, but... Well, maybe I'll ask you at the end, actually, but... the best player that you've played with.
Yes.
He is,
yeah. Oh, he's up there. Jack's definitely up there. He's definitely up there with one of the best players I've played with, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Just what was it, just under a season on loan? And, yeah, he controlled games himself as a player. You just had to give him the ball, and he'll do stuff that we can't do. Mm. We just had to defend and block shots and do the right things, whereas in the final third, you give the ball to Jack and he creates mayhem.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one of the best players. Definitely.
Okay. And then you've got, was it three in front? So is it like two wingers and a number 10?
Yeah. So I've got the West Brom 2018, the front three here. I've got Zoltan Gira on the right, Kevin Phillips in the 10 and Chris Brunt on the left. So I've got attacking power, goals, set piece quality. Because he always used to drop into that hole where defenders couldn't pick him up, and that's what he was so good at. Yeah. Kev used to link play really well, and not a lot of people would understand it because obviously he scored so many goals. Mm. But when you watch Kev, he was just such an intelligent football player. And again, he's one of my closest friends in football. Along with Jono, we just had such a great relationship off the pitch where we'd always go out together with, like, as the families, we'd enjoy ourselves, enjoy our company. His goals were ridiculous. Even in training, when you seen the goals he did in games, he did exactly the same in training. You were like, this is a joke. Like, you're actually embarrassing the goalkeepers. You felt sorry for the goalkeeper in training. You used to think, oh my God. Like, he needs to go into a nice bath just to cool himself down because he's been absolutely battered here. But yeah, Kev, what a guy. I mean, again, if only he didn't have people like Teddy Sheringham, Andy Cole and all that in front of him, then Kev maybe would have made more England appearances as well.
Yeah, I think that year that he got the European Golden Boot, though, like, I think you've got to reward that, and he didn't really see the England caps, did he, after that season when he should have, really. I mean,
yeah,
and he was a little bit different as well, like, to some of the striking options that they had too. But he was at Watford as well, weren't you?
Kev was at Watford with me, when he grew up. So, well, he came in from non-league. So Kev was playing for a team called Baldock Town, which was in Stevenage. Obviously, Watford signed him for, like, a small fee.
Yeah.
But then made millions on him going on, which was great because it just proves that you don't have to be in the system. You don't have to be in an academy and go through the setup. It's you come out of it and you don't give up, which Kev did. He never gave up. He believed in himself. And Watford brought him in and he just went from shrimp to shrimp. He went on to Sunderland and then had a great career there and then moved on to the Midlands clubs and Birmingham, Villa, West Brom, Blackpool, Crystal Palace. God, he's had so many promotions just because of his goal-scoring ability.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what a guy. Great guy. And then the two players on either side, obviously Zoltán Gyura was an unknown Hungarian international. No one really knew anything about him at West Brom. When he came through the door, we all thought he looked like Mr. Bean. We didn't know what to expect. But again, what a player. I mean, unbelievable talent. So much ability, right foot, left foot, score goals from anywhere in the final third, like outside of the 18-yard box. He put him in the top corners. Great in the air. I mean, he had such a good leap on him. And then when you're talking about delivery-wise for him, you'd have Chris Brunt on the other side putting the crosses in, and Gira would be on the back stick heading them in, because his delivery was always on point, where Zoltán knew if the cross was coming in from the left with Brunty, then he'd be on the end of it, like rising to head it into the net. So them two had great time in between them with how they worked on both wings. And obviously they were both also delivering into someone like Kevin Phillips, who was always going to score a goal. So that front three working behind the striker was always very creative, and would always chip in with goals and assists. So it was an exciting time to play in a West Brom team with them three in front of you.
Who's on set pieces out of them three?
Brunty would have been on. Yeah, Brunty. Jonathan Greening as well. Jonathan Greening used to take set pieces like corners. Zoltán Gyura. It just depended whether we wanted in-swingers or out-swingers. They'd always take turns, but you knew whatever you were getting, it was going to be good quality.
Yeah, and you've said Gyura was sort of good in the air as well for his size, and Phillips the same, isn't he? He got a lot of headed goals for someone of his height. So your centre backs,
yes,
you're definitely getting a lot of goals from corners and free kicks and stuff like that with your team. But
we're definitely getting other goals with a striker in it as well from set pieces. So that's a good one.
Okay, all right. But Gyura, when he come in and no one had sort of heard of him, what was that first training session like? Is that when you did it click straight away?
Oh, straight away. Like as soon as he had the ball at his feet, you were like, wow, like who is this player? You've never heard of him. You've never seen him play before. And straight away, he was just unbelievable in training. Just the ball control, the way he used his body. The ability to score goals, his physicality as well. He wasn't very built. He was quite a lean guy, but he just knew how to use his body in the right areas of the pitch. So, and his work rate as well. He was so fit, athlete. Everyone was, we've got a signing here. We've got a great player here that we've signed.
I think he was another one, very, very underrated player. I think he got a move to Fulham after, didn't he? And he did some good bits there. But yeah, quality. And Chris Brunt, legend at West Brom, wasn't he? He's been there for, 12, 13 years, something like that.
Yeah, so he's got his testimonial coming up in September. That got a few faces coming back to playing it. So that'd be good, because he deserves that. Long servant to the club and done so many great things for him, and he deserves it. Him and James Morrison both deserve the testimonial.
You don't see many of those these days, testimonials.
No, it's a lot of clubs don't do it for some reason. I think it depends on the players as well. I think the players nowadays do they want to do it? What does it mean? And but they're donating all their money to the Albion Foundation. So fair play to them both is that they're putting money back into a great cause at the football club. And they work closely. Obviously, they're still at the football club doing bits behind the scenes. So, it's great. It's great to see. And hopefully we'll get a good crowd at the Hawthorns for them both, which will go to for a great cause with all the ticket sales as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I mean, that a lot of players in that team were, including yourself, sort of West Brom's best team, did the best that they've done since sort of Big Ron was there in the 70s or 80s. And there'll be a lot of cult heroes in that team. So I'm sure they'll get a good crowd. One story about a testimonial. So the last Arsenal one I can remember was Dennis Bergkamp's, which was the opening game at the Emirates.
Wow.
I was on the pitch. Waving a Sunderland flag because they got 49 like mascots out to wave the 49 teams that Birkham had scored against, and I've got Sunderland. So you can tell Kevin Phillips, if you see him, if he wants that flag, I've got it knocking about somewhere. It's no use to me, so he can have it if he wants.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got a lot of Sunderland merchandise.
Yeah,
already.
I'm sure he's got a lot of merchandise thrown at him for getting promotions.
That's it. Yeah, I'm excited to see who this striker is.
Yeah, so the striker was obviously, again, it was a tough one, but I had to go with big Kevin Davis at Bolton.
Okay.
Again, an absolute unit of a guy, fantastic guy off the pitch. And I mean, yeah, what a player. Great vocal point for Bolton at the time with the way that he played. He was full on and committed and never let any defenders play with ease. And he was a pleasure to play with. You knew what you were going to get from him. He was your captain. He was your leader. He drove you on. He'd always dig you out as well if you weren't doing the right thing. So yeah, a lot of respect for Kev, and again, another player who maybe because he played for Bolton didn't get the recognition of getting England caps. I think he got the one cap that it was a sort of a token gesture, but
yeah, it was, I think, yeah, because that wasn't even really in his prime. Probably he probably should have got a bit earlier on when he was a bit more dangerous a few years back. But yeah, the unfashionable word definitely comes to mind in the media for that. But yeah, I like that a lot as well, because Phillips obviously had great success with Niall Quinn. Not quite the same player as Kevin Davis, but still that little and large combo going on.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been nice to see them two play together. I'm sure that both Kevs would have enjoyed playing alongside each other, with one, the physicality and the knockdowns, and the Kev just being bright in and around and picking up the second balls and scoring loads of goals. So, yeah, it would have been nice to see that. But yeah, I mean, Kevin Davis was an outstanding centre forward in my time at Bolton when I played alongside him. And yeah, he was a great character around the place and loved at Bolton for the amount of years he was there as well.
Did you ever play like directly up against him, or was that more the centre backs, I suppose, that would have done that?
No, what Kev used to do, he used to pull out onto the smallest fullbacks when I was playing fullback, so I knew I was going to get try and roughed up when he came out wide. So you just had to give as good as you got. So we always had some good battles, and again, it was nice then, because then when I signed for Bolton, it carried on in training. So yeah, we enjoyed each other's competitive side, which was good to be around and good to be involved in. But no, he was a great player to have in your team, just because you knew what you were going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that really rounds that team off nice. I mean, you really thought about, players that mould quite well together, I think. And you can tell you're a coach.
Yes.
You got any future plans? What's your 5-year plan? Is that, that's an interview question, isn't it? That you get. Do you want to go into management, or are you sort of happy coaching still at the moment?
I think eventually, if I think it's got to be right. I think the job, like you say, if there's a job opportunity where you're offered the manager's role, it's got to be right for both parties. Am I the right choice for the job? And am I the right fit? Will I go in and do the things that I want to do and make the team play that I want to play? Then only time will tell. At the moment, I'm really enjoying my role at Millwall. Obviously, I had 2 years coaching in the Birmingham Academy, where, again, I love developing. I love working with the young kids there to get them to understand the game and try and get them the right way of playing football at the right times, but also to not put themselves under pressure and do silly things that will make them look silly. So yeah, that was great learning for me, the 2 years. Again, now because I'm with the first team, but I also work with younger players as well that are in around the first team. Again, I'm still getting that development side of it, but I'm also now getting that exposure of working with senior players, which is where I want to be. And I want to test myself, and I want to learn. I want to work my way up the ladder like I did as a player. You've always got to start from the bottom and work your way up. I find that if you go straight into a job that's going to be an eye opener for you, then it's not right. So yeah, I wanted to put myself in good stead of doing the right things and then building my reputation up as a coach to then hopefully one day getting the opportunity to become a manager.
Yeah, and you've worked with Gary before, haven't you, at Birmingham as a...
Yeah.
You was captain there, weren't you?
Gary was my manager when I was at Blues as the captain. So yeah, we both know each other. But again, Gary only knew me as a player. He didn't know me as a coach. So again, it's probably opened his eyes up with the way that I work and what I do and the standard I bring, obviously bounce off him with what he does. And obviously the assistant manager as well, Adam Barrett, we've got a great little connection there where we all have different ideas and we all bounce off each other. So, and then we put it all into how we want it to work, especially the gaffer. He's the gaffer. So we'll lead off him and then we'll work around sessions wise of how we can improve the players and how we can help the team move forward.
Yeah. And speaking of managers, I didn't ask you before to sort of pick one, two managers team, but who is the best manager that you've played under, would you say?
So Graham Taylor's going to be my number one, just because obviously he was my mentor when I was first at Oxford. I learned so much of him, not just on the football field, but off it, on how to behave. He used to treat me with respect, but also used to tell me where I needed to be better. So I learned a lot off Graham and Kenny Jackett. And then I'd say probably Brian Robson and Gary Megson were my other two managers who Gary I really respect, because he brought me to obviously to Bolton and to West Brom at the time. So he brought me twice. And then Brian Robson, obviously, with that great escape and learning off him and understanding what he was all about as not only a manager, but as a player as well, and his leadership skills, his motivational skills, playing at the highest level. Yeah, it was. I've been lucky enough to work with some great managers.
Yeah, I forgot Brian Robson was manager at West Brom, because I was going to ask about Zola, because I know he's not really famous for being a manager, but there were some stories when he was at West Ham that at that point he was still like the best player in training and turning them all up. Was that still the case at Birmingham? Because it's probably about 10 years on from when he was manager of West Ham, so he's probably retired for a good 10, 12 years or something. But
Yeah, he joined in the finishing sessions, and I felt sorry for the strikers. I think some of them walked in. I think they'd had enough. I think they was a little bit embarrassed with how he was in finishing. But no, I think, like you say, I try and join in training sometimes, because you have to give the players a picture. You have to get them to understand with where your positioning is, what you need to do better, how can we move like forward as a player, how can your career develop. So you got to show players where they need to be and how they need to do it. Obviously, they're not going to be like you because you're totally different people, but it's just trying to get them having the pictures in their minds of what you're explaining to them and how they can do it.
Mm. Yeah. And have you coached anyone yet that you used to play with?
No, just players that I played against. So the players, obviously, I'm coaching now. I played against them a few times when I was throughout my career. So yeah, but they know what type of character I am. They know that I'll always be there to help them when they need individual work, but also team stuff as well. When we're taking the sessions, they get the best that they need to get out of how they want to play. So yeah, they'll get my commitment to helping them move forward as a player.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I think what you've got, the setup you've got there, I've heard very good things about Gary Barrett as well, and my partner's a Millwall fan.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I genuinely do hope you do very well in the next season coming up. It'd be very interesting to see Mill in the Premier League, I think.
Yeah.
They've been close, haven't they, the last couple of seasons. Just missed out on the playoffs and stuff.
Yeah, definitely just missed out. Hopefully we can go one step further this year, which would be nice.
Yeah. But I mean, by that point, you might be managing in the top flight anyway. You've got big plans by the sounds of it, but taking it one step at a time at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens next. But yeah, Paul, cheers for coming on. Was a really good team. Yeah, as I said, I think you've really actually thought about it and not just kind of picked random names and just thrown them together. That team could definitely do some business. And yeah, as a defender, I wouldn't want to be playing against Kevin Davis and Kevin Phillips. That would be an absolute nightmare. Yeah.
Brilliant. Cheers. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
No.